Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for blessing us with your presence, as you always do when we gather. Please bless us this day when you change the showbread. Give us a better understanding of the truth and better opportunities to share it with others. Please bless everyone on our prayer list, everyone that's doing the work, and especially those that are lost, that we love so dearly and pray for often. And thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain, if we are so worthy. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our eternal Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. This is Antichrist, or Pope is Antichrist, Part 5. And then, if you're just joining us on the stream or here in the room, stick around. After the sermon, I'm going to be making a major announcement in regards to certain things that, especially if you're Seventh-day Adventist, you were never told. Your leaders purposely removed it from the books you have on hand. And so, hopefully you stick around. So anyway, this next prophecy regarding Antichrist, because like I say, this is part five in the series, and I don't know how many parts I'm going to be going through this with. This could take months, because, you know, there's quite a few. There's hundreds of prophecies exposing Rome, but I only concentrate on about 26 of them, because if you do just eight, the astronomical odds that it could be anybody else is off the chart. It has to be that one entity. That's why Jesus has over 300 prophecies that speak of him. You know, but Antichrist will declare that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. And this is a major fruit of Roman Catholicism and their dogma. And it's based on 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, as you see there in the notes in the room, the stream rather. And under the room, the notes are there too. And thanks again, Brother Joe, for letting me know that I done messed that one up. So anyway, 1 John 4:3 says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is it, and even now already is it in the world." So, the word of God is rather plain here. If a church proclaims that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, then that church is of the long prophesied Antichrist. No way getting around it. And many Catholics to this day fight me on this tooth and nail. It, no matter how loving you try to present it, they're going to get upset. Not all of them, but the majority. And sadly, now that we are that much closer to the end, most Protestants are now echoing this anti-Christian lie. And sadly, this includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I could not believe this when I ran across this. I did a video, in fact, in February of this year. I think it was February 2nd or something like that. If you scroll, let me scroll down here. Where is it? I can get in here and scroll it. Yeah, there we go. It scrolls. All right, there. Box 7, the first video right there. Look it up on YouTube. Pope and SDA teach original sin. All right. So let me get back to the top. And if anybody wants the link, I should actually put the URL in here as to where these notes are at. I'm going to start doing it because I just did that. Because I'm going to be changing this page later on when I do that announcement. I got a bunch of SOP quotes that I linked out. And so so all the links are always in box 7 when I do this. But they all, everybody in the world now proclaims together using deception that their churches do say that Jesus came in the flesh. They say that. But since they adopted this doctrinal heresy from the Pope of Rome and they admit to following his lead, they're Antichrist. I mean, let's see if the popes of Rome really say Jesus Christ came in the flesh. I mean, notice an actual excerpt from the Roman Catholic Catechism book. I used to teach from this book when I was Roman Catholic. I used to teach for them. All right? It's item 491 in the, I think this is the St. Joseph's edition of the Catechism. I can't remember, because that's all I had. So anyway, it says this, through the, and it's right there, right in box number one. It says, through the centuries, the Church has become ever more aware that Mary, full of grace, through God, and they're quoting Luke 128, was redeemed from the moment of her conception. Okay? In other words, she was born sinless at her conception, right? And that it was the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, confesses, as Pope Pius IX proclaimed in 1854. And then he goes on to say that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary was, from the first moment of her conceptions, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and by the virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, preserved immune from all stain of original sin. And I also have a link. This link might not work now that I think about it, because they keep changing things. But it might. It still might, because I know most of them do. But they change things on the Vatican website quite often to make it just like what the government does with the bills they pass. They move them around, even though it's been passed and it's just archived. They keep moving them around, make it hard for the people to find them. But besides the fact here that they lie about Mary in her actual state of salvation when they claim she was immaculate or without sin when she conceived Jesus, Bible readers know Mary said, she, with her own lips, that she called God her Savior in Luke 1:47. But to declare that Jesus came to this world in a flesh, other than the flesh the Catholic Church teaches we bear, is to preach that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh of all the people on the earth. It's just that simple. That's how crafty they are. It's sneaky. They say he came in a flesh that's not stained with the stain we supposedly bear. Now, no, I'm not saying Jesus ever sinned, because he didn't. But he did have the option to sin, as he was human in nature. And praise his name, he chose not to sin so as to be our perfect, unblemished sacrifice for sin. But for the popes of Rome to say Jesus did that, or did not have the human nature in the flesh that we have in our flesh, is to say that he simply didn't come in the exact same flesh as we did. Therefore, he cannot possibly be the same Jesus John spoke of in 1 John 4:3. The basic reality here is, as prophesied, the Roman Catholic Jesus is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's another Jesus, which is another prophetic evidence of them being Antichrist that I'll get in later in the series. I mean, the Jesus of Rome is declared to have cheated and then prevented his flesh from being stained with that which Rome calls original sin, something no human had the ability to do. But what is the definition of original sin according to the Church of Rome? Because this really lets it out of the bag on this one. Question. And now this is in the Catechism book, page 41 now. Because it had a bunch of Q&As in there, and this is where I came up with that 86.2% paganism is Catholic dogma, because I just added all these up and then, you know, divided by the amount of verses that they offered, and 86.2%, you can't find this stuff in the Bible. It's just not there. That much, almost 90%. Actually, it was over 90, but I gave them the benefit of the doubt because they said that his name was Jesus, his mother's name was Mary, there was a wooden cross, that kind of stuff. And so I gave them the benefit of the doubt on that stuff, even though they twisted some things around it. But their question is, what is original sin? And their answer is, original sin is the sin we inherit from Adam, the father of the human race. That's why I got a little upset when I found out the Seventh-day Adventist Church said the same thing. It's in that video. I got the documentation on it. And so according to Roman dogma, original sin is a sin we all inherit from Adam. The basic problem with that is the Bible proves it to be a bold-faced lie. For it is written in Ezekiel 18:20 that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. We have an individual Savior. We don't have a group Savior. So the Word of God plainly states there is no such thing as original sin. Adam committed his sin all on his own. Some people say, well, you know, Eve tempted him. He says, yeah, well, you know, Satan tempts everybody, and he used Eve to tempt her, him, and so he didn't have to, you know, take the fruit. You know, but he did. He made the decision all on his own. And so We are not stained with his sin at all. It's impossible. To say otherwise is to be anti-Christian, because the Bible clearly says we are not held accountable, you know, for our father's sins. In Adam is the father of all of us. What we are born with is the human or sinful nature. We chose all on our own to sin when we came to the age of accountability. Jesus was also born with the same sinful nature that we have, because he was born human, period. That's why the devil tempted him in the desert. He knew he was messing with a human, right? The difference was Jesus simply chose not to sin. We all did. He didn't. That's why he's the perfect offering for sin. There's not a blemish on him or in him. All right, so the next prophetic evidence of Antichrist is I'm going to probably end with this one. I'm only going to be able to do two this Sabbath, because this one's going to take a little bit to really nail this coffin down tight. It's Antichrist. It's the prophecy that's fulfilled by the popes is titled in my little dissertation here, that Antichrist is to use craftiness and deceit in a major way. And Daniel the prophet is the one that lets this one out there, lets us discover this. It's in Daniel 8, verses 23 and 25. So let me scroll up a little bit on the stream there for y'all. Oops, too far. All right. It says, and in the latter time of their kingdom today, latter times, we're in the last days, when the transgressors are come to a full, and just look around, okay, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences. We'll get into that one too later on in the series. Or maybe we already did it last week. He shall stand up, it says, you know, understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, capital P, prince of little p, princes. In other words, Jesus. But he shall be broken without hand. Now, just to let you know, the word craft is, you know, is defined from the Hebrew, comes back mirma, right? And it means deceit, deceitful, deceitfully, false, guile, feigned, craft, subtlety, treachery, and so on and so forth. And then the second definition is just plain deceit and treachery. Well, actually, that's the first. It's the first drop down of the first definition. Anyway, the popes of Rome have all along used craftiness and deceit to gain the upper hand for literally centuries. If you check out my King of the North study I did online years ago, you will see this is how they were able to grow to such large numbers. And the only reason I put that page on the side is because some dear brothers and sisters in the faith got pulled off the path thinking the King of the North was Turkey, not realizing Rome is using the Muslims. They're not the King of the North. It's never changed. Prophecy can't be changed. It's just like Rome used Hitler. Well, Rome's using the Muslims to kill the Christians now. And Hitler killed a ton of Christians, but they only talk about the 6 million Jews, right? So, this King of the North study, I show how Rome starts off making friends and then, you know, chew them up and spit them out kind of a thing. But all of us on planet Earth saw them use this exact same craftiness in just the last two generations alone. And what I'm talking about is the New World Order that has been declared a conspiracy theory. Okay, now keep in mind, he's going to lie. The Pope's going to get up there and lie, and all the people that are in bed with him, they're all going to lie and say, no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden, when they got that ball rolling down the hill so fast you can't stop it, then they're going to admit, yeah, well, you know, it's a good thing, let's do this. Which means they've been doing it all along. They're using craftiness or deceit. The New World Order that has been declared a conspiracy theory for decades by all the politicians and every Catholic priest with access to the media. But and if you recall, I did a radio thing on this. The very first person ever to use the term New Order, which then became New World Order, was Adolf Hitler, Roman Catholic Emperor Adolf Hitler. I even got the stuff on the Hitler page on my website. And then Prescott Bush and the Roman Catholic Church were very instrumental in funding Hitler. Prescott Bush was more or less just the go-between between the Vatican and Hitler, so as to keep the Vatican away from the public eye, to not let them know that they were actually backing Hitler. So George W. Bush's grandpa did it. So that was Prescott Bush that helped them. And so that's why you saw George H.W. Bush constantly using the term New World Order every time he turned around when he became president for that one term. Kept using it. But for decades before that, they were saying, oh, no, there's no such thing. So now what they once called a conspiracy is now openly embraced as fact by all the politicians as well as the prelates of Rome. Better yet, this is now something that can be well verified first spoken of Rome. Because if you just do that online search, you'll see, you know, about the, the New World Order topic being first suggested by the Vatican. Well, Hitler, as I said. I think I go into it in my February 1st, 2004. Let me scroll. Yep, February 1st, 2004, Truth Provided newsletter. I got info on it in there. Let me get it back up here. So, Rome's major and long prophesied desire here is the fact, is in fact the need for a one world court and a one world church system combined so as to have the absolute power to be able to enforce the mark. And as we know, the one world court started in 1999. Right? It was ratified in the year 2000, wherein the Club of Rome had a major part to play. I go into a lot of detail about this on the New World Order page on the website. This Roman international court system carries the solar wheel logo of the Vatican itself on its website as well as on all of its letterhead. So it's a no-brainer. It is the Vatican's baby. They wouldn't put the solar wheel, which is like what they call the St. Peter's Square, that big circle that's got that solar, it's like a big wheel in there. That's a pagan worship symbol towards Baal. It's a solar wheel, it's called. So the Pope is, in fact, its globally accepted elected leader of that prophesied court system. The One World Church, however, somewhat officially began on June 26, 2000. At the original draft of the online study that I was doing on Antichrist, I was still waiting for the global agreement of this One World Church. On June 26, 2000, only Protestants and Catholics agreed to declare their Pope to be their moral leader. And I did that page on it and that newsletter and that radio broadcast and all that stuff on it years and years and years ago. And so I waited, though. I knew it had to go global. It's not just going to be Catholics and Protestants going in bed together with this false theology. So I waited and watched. And then, as prophesied, this one world church globally became official across all religions, Christians and non-Christian alike. And it happened on February 4th of this year, 2019. Just a couple months ago. And see my video titled Prophecy Fulfilled, One World Church. And that's in box 7 too, I think. Yep, video. I should have put numbers. But video prophecy. Yeah, Prophecy Fulfilled, One World Church. It's right there. And so, oops, let me scroll up a little more. All right, so, but getting back to how the popes used deception to that end, notice the papers that were signed to bring to life the United Religions Initiative in the same hotel room and on the same date of June 26, but it was back in 1948. And they called it it was called United Nations or United Religions Initiative in 2000, but it was called United Nations Initiative in 1948. So according to historic record, the Pope was considered the elected leader of this one world church a year in advance. That's why I did that thing in 2000, because what went down, because they were suggesting it, but they can suggest it all they want. He is going to be the leader. And I have a newsletter where I stated that, and then June of 2000, it went down. But I'm going to read this from the Electronic Telegraph of the UK News, May 13th, 1999, and Oliver Poles, the guy that wrote this. It says, okay, let me scroll up a little bit on my notes. The Pope was recognized as the overall authority of the Christian world. Okay, so that's why I was waiting. Because I knew he had to go global. I knew he had to go to the Muslims, the Jews, the Buddhists, all of them, right? So he was recognized as the overall authority in the Christian world by an Anglican and Roman Catholic commission yesterday, which described him as a gift to be received by all churches. Can you believe it? But this is how blind they are. They actually believe this stuff. If a new United Christian Church was created, it would be the Bishop of Rome who would exercise universal primacy. And that's why I did the newsletter in 1999, because I knew what was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen that fast, but, you know, I says, yeah, he's got to be the leader. That's prophecy. It has to happen. And so the 43-page document, The Gift of Authority, has been produced by the 18-member Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission after 5 years of debate. The commission concluded that the Bishop of Rome had a specific ministry concerning the discernment of truth, of all things, and accepted that only the Pope had the moral authority to unite the various Christian denominations. Mark Birchall, a member of the Church of England Evangelical Council, said, "It speaks as if the Bishop of Rome has always been on the side of the angels, while it is well known that for several centuries past the Bishop of Rome was certainly not." And the Right Reverend, well, it's a blasphemous title, and because Reverend is holy as thy name saith the Lord. So any preacher that calls himself Reverend is just as like a Pope calling himself Holy Father. He's blaspheming. So anyway, this guy by the name of Murphy O'Connor, Bishop of Arundel in Brighton, and the other, he added that the primacy of the Pope is a gift to be shared too. So anyway, the man of sin in Rome used deception and craftiness to hoodwink all the governments and churches on the planet into thinking it's a good thing to do as he desires. I mean, prophecy declared that they would create these sin-loving government entities for a so-called peace and safety agenda, when in fact, it is the exact opposite of all their desires all along. Rome is setting everyone up on earth for a major fall. They could care less about peace and safety. They just want control. They'll kill you. That's why there's wars. I mean, don't be fooled. They're not concerned with your faith, nor are they concerned with your walk. That's why the Catholic Sabbath is like, hey, you can go to the store. Yeah, just go to church, too. So they are more concerned with how easy you will allow them to control each and every soul on earth. This is done simply because Satan needs to get this done before Jesus gets here. He needs to get the entire world marked as his subjects. He thinks in so doing will allow him to defeat Christ. One problem is the elect cannot be deceived, nor will they bow to anyone but Christ, no matter how much force is placed upon them. Remember when they were whipping Jesus and all that stuff and then crucifying him 2,000 years ago? Satan was doing all he could to try to get Jesus to feel and experience such hatred and such pain that Jesus would just say, okay, I've had enough of this, and just obliterate everybody, and then the salvation thing would be gone forever. But Jesus stood firm, like we're going to, and have been all along. They will know that what it is the Pope and the pastors under his thumb are trying to do. You know, the elect, we already know. And this is what upsets them. We can tell you tomorrow what the Pope's going to do. We can tell you today what the Pope's going to do tomorrow. And that's one of the reasons we get the death threats and all these other issues and the censoring and all this other stuff that's been going on. And we will, and have all along, been proclaiming it from the rooftop so as to warn the people of God still trapped in these apostate churches that Rome's running it. You need to get out of it. The Vatican has been shouting for years that all religions must come together as one in the Vatican II, ecumenical charge, what they call the Vatican. They called it an ecumenical charge, I believe. The Word of God is plain in that it states, we cannot join together with those that do not embrace the truth. It's in, what is it here, Amos chapter 3, verse 3, and 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 17. It says, Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? I mean, how many times have you heard that on these apostate pulpits? Not unless they can twist that out of context. And then 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 and 17 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And this plays a big part in what I'm going to be announcing later on after the sermon, because a lot of people don't seem to realize that you can't even touch an apostate church. You can't even, going in there it's bad. it's way past touching. Yeah, but Rome literally says, even though what we just read from Scripture, Rome openly declares you need to join with her for world peace. And even here, deception is his tool of choice, in that the popes of Rome have been responsible for all the wars since the end times began. In a way, he is using truth as a deceptive tool here. Remember what I was talking about earlier? Because lies need truth because they can't stand on their own. Once all the nations that he is currently attacking using the American military, once they agree to bow to the Pope, the wars will end, bringing about his manufactured peace, right? And no, it's, you know, it's peaceful on the outside, but they're still going to be killing Christians in the basements and stuff. They're going to, you know, anybody that comes up against them, they're going to kill them. And no, they don't do this, you know, the so-called peace for Christ or even for his people. They again use craftiness to make billions think that they are Christians and Jesus is the savior of the Catholic Church. But I have a page on my website entitled "Rome literally says Jesus not needed." It's in box number 7 of the notes here. On this page, I share numerous quotes from the Vatican, as well as Protestant leaders, because Billy Graham was the first to say it. And the reason he had to say it first is because of what he was doing in the 60s, just like what some SDA leaders do. They leave the church and say, oh, the church has fallen, has fallen, fallen. And then they get a bunch of people to their side, and then the church asks the preacher to come back in, and they all go back in with him. That's what Billy Graham did. Oh, the church is evil, the church is evil, the church is evil. And now, before Billy Graham died and all this other stuff, he's out there saying that the Pope is a godly man, right? Well, Billy Graham was the first, with Robert Schuller, to say that you don't need Jesus to gain heaven. Because the Pope couldn't be the first one to go out there and say it. The last three popes have literally said it now, in writing, but Billy Graham had to say it first. They did this. They make this crazy claim that you don't need Jesus to get to heaven, so as to make it easier to get Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, and all the other false religions to join in their one world church that just formed on, you know, what was it, February 4th, 2019. And yes, the SDA Church is a member of this church. They'll lie to you through their teeth. I've got literal letters from the National Council of Churches and World Council of Churches, back and forth letters with the Seventh-day Adventist leaders and the Pope's global church. And there it is. Look for the video right here. Whoops, I just moved the whole thing. I guess you can't really highlight it. Well, yeah, I can. Okay, oops. I went to it. So how am I going to get out of that? There's no way. How did that happen now? All right, let me pause it. I'm going to see. How can I get back now? Because there's no... shouldn't have clicked that. Oh, man. Look at that. I'm live. It says right there. I'm going to try to go to pre-service. Now it's still going to be in there. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to get out of this. Because unless I try to pull up the... No, that's not going to help me. I wonder if I can go tab it backwards. Backspace. Nope, it's not going to let me back. I don't know how to fix this. Because there's no browser thing here. CSP sermon notes. Let me turn it off and turn it back on. Oh, well, sorry about that, everybody. If you want the notes, I'll give them to you later. So, where did I leave off here? Okay, some Catholics were confused for years because their local priests were denying all this stuff that the Vatican was doing out there in the open. But as the prophet Daniel stated, they will use the craftiness. And so when the Vatican or its representatives speak to the local churches, they will most assuredly say you need Jesus to gain heaven, so as to gain, or so, you know, use deception and keep them in the pews. But locally, they will say Jesus is Lord, but when they speak to the world at large via the media, they'll speak another message. They say such things as this. Cardinal Francis Arens stated this on March 20th, 1999. He said, and he's considered at that time a possible successor to Pope John Paul after he died. He said, he has denied Jesus as the only way to get to heaven. And then the Pope said at an audience that all of the just on earth, including those who ignore Christ and his church, were called on to build the kingdom of God. And that was on Friday, December 8th, 2000. And then Vatican City, you know, Catholic News Service, stated on November 7th, 2002, in their relations with the Jews and the Christians, they said that they must recognize that the Jews do not have to convert in order to be saved. A top official, a Vatican official, said that. And so, how's that possible? But you ask your local priest, and, you know, I mean, deception abounds in this evil church. And when the people question their local priests about the obvious hypocrisy of the Vatican prelates, their local priests simply claim they are conservative and do not agree with the Pope. And so the people sit back in the pew with a sign of relief. You know? And yes, that is why some of the Adventist pastors claim they're conservative as well. Seriously, do you not know you're in the end of days when all this was supposed to happen? That deception keeps the people in the pews in many churches. And now, because all of them are using Vatican tactics to prevent an exodus from the churches that they worked so hard to infiltrate and conquer in the first place. So they're not going to give up easy. As a matter of fact, prophecy says they're going to kill you if you try to leave or if you refuse to bow to them, you know, the Mark of the Beast thing. So the Vatican is the ultimate political power or entity on earth, as we all know. What you see them doing here is no different than what the Roman-educated politicians have been doing all along. It's the same method of campaigning of, you know, like a campaigning official uses to gather votes so that he can become president or a congressman or whatever the case may be. You know, for example, William Jefferson Clinton went to Georgetown University to be trained as a politician. Georgetown is a Jesuit university. So he was trained by Jesuits. And when running for the governor's office in Arkansas, he was anti-abortion because that is what the people in Arkansas wanted. They just simply did the political demographic on it. That won him the election. But when he was running for president, he became pro-abortion. And he even initiated partial birth abortion where the baby was born halfway out of the womb. And then the doctor would snip the spine in the base of the neck and kill the kid. Now they want to kill the baby all the way out of the womb. And they'll probably go, they'll get it. It's the last days. The Pope and his representatives in all the churches will use this exact same deceit to get the masses to bow to their agenda. And when someone questions it in their local church, their parish priest or Protestant minister will simply lie and say they don't agree with what the media stated, and then they spin the truth to calm the fears of the people questioning all that's happening. I mean, we cannot deny the documented statements. They are right there in black and white, and we cannot deny what we hear when we confront those that speak such lies on a local level. I mean, craftiness and deceit is a major tool in these last days. As I've been saying for decades, we are in the age of lying, and the people of God need to wake up and prepare. I mean, notice this, and this is from Bill Cooper's book, Behold a Pale Horse, on page 49. And it's also in the Armageddon script on page 215 to page 252 for some reason, so I guess it's half and half. It says, the great overriding feature of the entire system of the Antichrist, the New World Order, is a blatant deceit. In fact, New World Order, with writers, boast of their planned deceptions because they arrogantly believe the great majority of the world's population is too stupid and lazy to know what is best for them. Only the New World Order planners know what is best for the world, and they have determined that they can achieve their goals only by deliberate deception of the poor masses. This has been going on for years. I mean, that book was put out many years ago. I forgot to put the date up there. And then Pope, listen to this headline. And this is January 1st, 2004. Where was this? Oh, Vatican City. The Associated Press put this out. So this is no schlock. This ain't fake news. Headline, Pope calls for a new world order. And then it says, the article says, Pope John Paul II rang in the new year on Thursday with a renewed call for peace in the Middle East and Africa and the creation of a new world order based on respect for dignity of man and equality among nations. So, this is a sad fact of our society today. If it isn't Hollywood causing millions to become couched potatoes, it's the Roman Catholic-controlled pharmacies pumping them up with so many drugs that most people today look at the other guy to get off the couch and do something about it. Most agree things have gotten out of hand, and so far out of hand that something needs to be done about it, but no one is willing to get off their backside to do it because they are either too busy with their careers, their new video games, their sporting events, or any other means that is distracting them. That's no mistake. It's just like with the cell phone. People are just addicted to this thing with the games and everything that's in them. That's no mistake. Too busy to read your Bible. Oh, no. You know, I got to be at work at 9 to 5, so I get up at 7:30, they say, so that they can play a game, or two before going to work. Why not just read your Bible? I have literally hundreds of pages on my site dedicated to the Vatican's one world government / church deceptions alone. In fact, there was a section on the site that had gotten so huge years ago due to all the articles on this topic, I shut it down. I simply could not keep up with all the facts coming in on a daily basis when they stopped saying New World Order was a conspiracy. They started admitting this is what our plans are. And it was just flooding in so much that I stopped it. I stopped posting the articles mostly about the Roman International Court System that was initiated. I knew it was only a few months before the United Religions initiative would come to be anyway, and so it did. Plus, I figure the hundreds of articles showing every aspect of the trickery played out before the governing officials to make a new world order come off as attractive, to make them think it's attractive, were enough to convince even the hardened skeptic that something was happening. A lot of people still didn't believe, but seeds were planted. But two crafty lies were used by Rome to get all the global entities realized as an agreement across the land. Truth is, they actually used the exact same lie both times. Rome used the peace and safety lie that 1 Thessalonians 5:3 prophetically speaks about to get the Roman international court system set up. They convinced the powers that be that if a global court was set up, all the world would be as one and peace and safety would be realized worldwide. Rome again used the peace and safety lie to get the United Religions Initiative ratified as well. In June 26, 2000, they once more used craftiness and deceit to convince the leaders of all the nations and the churches that if a global church was brought forth, everyone would happily join and world peace would be the end result. And soon as I outline I do have this stuff on my climate change will bring about the mark of the beast page. Soon they're going to be claiming Sunday holy is going to cause peace and safety after the Lord stops the climate disasters that they think he's going to stop. They go, you keep Sunday holy, he'll stop all the climate disasters. But as we know, that's when it goes off the chart. That's when plagues start hitting. I mean, it doesn't end there either. I mean, Rome also uses deceit and craftiness to get people to see her as a moral authority. And yes, this is besides the fact that it doesn't take much to pull back the curtain to see, all the decadence of the most evil entity ever known to man. An organization that is so evil that over 500 million Christians have been recorded to have lost their lives at the hands of these bloody, the Vatican prelates. This is why the Lord eventually sends the Pope and all his cohorts the seven last plagues. And cohorts on, people that get the mark of the beast, anybody that follows his lead. In fact, plague number 2 and 3 specifically state it is because they are bloodthirsty that the Lord gives them blood to drink. It's right there in Revelation 16. I think it's in verse 6 here. It says, they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. So yeah, all the inland waters in the ocean turns into blood. The ocean like the blood of a dead man, which is black, and the inland waters just blood like red. And I got pictures too on my showing all this on the seven last plagues page. So they receive blood to drink because they thirst for it. One thing still amazes me about the craftiness of this church is how literally they actually admitted on March 12, 2000 in Pope John Paul II's Mea Culpa to the entire world, in his globally televised broadcast, that the Roman Catholic Church did in fact kill all those Christians and molest all those children all throughout the centuries in the Dark Ages. Yet the Roman Catholic Church remains the largest church on earth, sporting 1.2 billion members. That is the ultimate testimony of how craftiness and deceit work on people that refuse to read Bibles. And think about that. Not only did the Pope, who they now claim is a saint, John Paul II, not only did he admit they killed those Christians, this same Pope, who, by the way, sold the gas that killed the Jews to Hitler, that was his family business, and he was the salesman. That's why he ended up in the Vatican. It was called the Vatican Rat Line. That's why Ratzinger ended up in the Vatican. He was a gunner on a rooftop killing people as a Nazi. The Vatican Rat Line, you know, hit him and brought him into the Vatican and, you know, claimed them to be priests, like they did with many of these Nazis. You know, and then so as to keep them, because they were powerful, they had connections and whatnot. You know, that same so-called St. John Paul II admitted the church molested all those children for centuries and was still doing it at the time of his mea culpa. And the Roman Catholics remained seated in their pews with their precious children sitting right next to them. Worse yet, they remained in the pews after that so-called sainted pope vetoed the zero tolerance the cardinals set up when it came to pedophile priests. They were planning on saying, like, you get caught molesting a kid, you're out of the priesthood. John Paul II says, no, you can't do that. And he didn't say why, but we know why. There wouldn't be any priests. They're all pedophiles. You know, a Catholic priest doesn't become a pedophile. He is a pedophile, and he joins the church because the church will protect him. And he knows it. I mean, only the craftiness of Satan can keep people in such a church as this that kills their neighbors for being Christian and then molests their very own children, even after the statistics reveal the Roman Catholic priests were dying of AIDS 11 times greater than anybody else. You know, when AIDS was at its peak, I got a page on the website all about it. This, you know, Roman Catholic priests and AIDS. You know, that's amazing. And they were caught doctoring death certificates. They didn't want anybody to know these priests were homosexual and they were dying. So I'll close with this. If any other entity or organization on earth admitted to such hellish acts as they did on March 12, 2000 in that mea culpa, they would be shut down immediately and everyone associated with them would be jailed and some of them would be sentenced to death. Case in point, look at Roman Catholic Emperor Adolf Hitler. To this day, he is considered the most evil man ever to have graced the face of the earth, yet he has only been exposed as the mass murderer of 6 million Jews. The records show that he killed over that the Vatican, which controlled Hitler, killed over 83 times more people than Hitler ever did. And they are now called the moral authority, an elected leader of the One World Court System as well as the One World Church as of February of this year. If this is not the prophetic model and bold fulfillment for craftiness and deceit, what else could be? Seriously, I'm standing in line to figure that one out if you got anything else out there. And since the Roman Catholic two-hour commercial, that's why I shut down my YouTube page many years ago for like 2 years or 3 years, I put up that Roman Catholic commercial that was calling people back into the church, and I just took it apart piece by piece and just showed some Bible verses and showed how it's bogus and all this other stuff. Catholic Church complained, they pulled it. I says, well, forget this now. So I got off YouTube for like 2-3 years. Really upset me when they did that. But they also have another Roman Catholic commercial called The Passion of the Christ. When that was released, you know, amazing how many people flocked to it as if it was real. I mean, one could see that, how the deception moved into the Protestant churches because they, too, were falling for the same deceit. Not long ago, all Protestant leaders were documented as proclaiming Rome the home of Antichrist. You know, I got a list of them. All denominations on earth have already, all their founders have all said that the Pope is either the beast, Antichrist, man of sin, son of perdition, whatever. But today, all Protestant faiths agree that the Pope is a moral leader of the world. And this includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church, who have been sending their tithes to the Pope and literally defending him. I got a video all about the Catholic Church defending Antichrist. And if you saw their and I'm going to do a video about this as soon as I can. I think it was Loma Linda, or was it Andrews University, yearbook for the students, jam-packed with Roman Catholic paintings. Halos, the trident hand fingers, 666 hand fingers. It's disgusting how much paganism is in the Seventh-day Adventist Church colleges. It's really sad when you think about this. So, only only the one that has satanic ability of craftiness and deceit that the prophet Daniel speaks of in this prophecy, and only he can turn such graphically blunt tables as this. This prophecy is most assuredly fulfilled by the Roman Catholic popes, prelates, priests, bishops, cardinals, and nuns. And I hope and I pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute. Took a minute to get the mic to come back on, but amen. And for those of you listening on the stream, please stick around. There's people leaving. We've already lost four. I got a major announcement to make. If you're Seventh-day Adventist or on the verge of leaving the Seventh-day Adventist Church or our ex-SDA, you need to stick around and hear what was taken out of the Great Controversy. You're going to get very upset at your leaders if you stick around. So. It would, rightly so, too, because we have overwhelming evidence now that there's wolves in this. Well, they're all wolves now. They're all 501c3 government-approved agencies. Yeah, there was a little bit of lag there, Alex. Yeah, I noticed that. So anyway, if you can kneel, let's finish this, the church service, in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us on this Sabbath day with what we needed to have a better understanding of what's going on out there, prophetically speaking, so that we could be ready for that which has already started. And thank you also for giving us many opportunities throughout our lives, all the way up until that eastern sky splits. Well, at least until the plagues begin, because we know after the plagues begin, there's not going to be any more evangelizing. And so thank you for blessing us and keeping us safe and with opportunities to share our faith up to that point. And thank you, Father, for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain, if we are so worthy. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.